It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, comedy from the Screen Director's Playhouse later on, but right now, The Jack Benny Show from March 30th, 1947 on NBC with special guest actress Jane Wyman.
Broadcasting from San Francisco, the Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Phil Harris's orchestra, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, on last Tuesday night in Los Angeles, with bands playing and trumpets blaring, the star of our show boarded a special car on the Lark. And on Wednesday morning, after a night of excitement and anticipation, finally arrived in San Francisco and was met at the station by a red cap. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, you're absolutely right. Imagine after the mayor, the Chamber of Commerce, and the newspapermen of San Francisco begged me to come up here, there was no one to meet me at the station but a red cap. I was so mad, I carried my own bag. And I'm going to stay mad till I get back on the train.
Well, anyway, Jack, even though you didn't get a reception at the station, at least you had the honor of coming to San Francisco in a private car.
Well, Don, it wasn't exactly a private car. It was more like a...
Drawing room?
Well, it wasn't exactly a drawing room. It was more like a...
Compartment?
What's a compartment?
Well, a compartment has an upper and lower berth in it and a chair.
A chair? Hmm? No, this wasn't a compartment. Forget it. Forget about it, Don. By the way, how did you come up here?
Oh, I came up on the TWA bus.
The TWA bus? Don, the TWA is an airliner. It flies.
Not when I'm on it.
Oh, I see. Now I know what they mean by ceiling zero. Anyway, Don, we got here, so let... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack.
Mary, I don't know what's come over me, but I've never seen you look so pretty before. Your complexion so clear, your cheeks so rosy. Have you got on your new makeup?
No, you've got on your new glasses.
Oh, yes. And Mary, I have these glasses made especially for San Francisco. Look at them.
Well, I don't see anything different.
Look closer.
Well, I'll be darned, windshield wipers.
And yes, and not only that. Wait, Mary, press the little button on the bridge of my glasses.
What?
Go ahead, press the button.
Okay. Holy smoke, built-in fog lights.
Yes, sir, there's nothing like... Mary, what are you sticking your finger in my ear for?
I'm checking your gas and oil.
Mary, don't be silly. By the way, where are you living here in town?
At the Sir Francis Drake. Where are you?
I'm at the Fairmont Hotel on the top of Knob Hill.
How do you get there, Jack? By cable car?
No.
You ought to ride them sometime.
Mary, if I want to get to the top of Knob Hill, I'll get there.
Yeah, but what you won't do to save a dime.
What do you mean, Mary?
Well, yesterday I saw Jack going up Powell Street with spiked shoes, a rope, and a pick.
Well, I made it, didn't I?
Yes, but when you got to the top of the hill, you didn't have to yodel.
Look, I wasn't yodeling.
Then how come you got fan mail from three goats in Berkeley?
Because they got fountain pens that write under milk. I can go along with a gag, you know.
Honestly, Jack, every time you come to San Francisco, you have more trouble.
What are you laughing at, Mary?
Well, yesterday we were taking a drive to Oakland.
You mean over the Bay Bridge?
Yes. When we got to the toll gate, I reached over to pay the man, and before I knew it, Jack flew out of the car, jumped into the bay, climbed up back on the bridge, handed the man the quarter, and said, "Butterfingers."
Yeah.
And, Jack, you want to know something?
What?
That man told me he dropped it on purpose. He knew you'd jump in after it.
Dropped it on purpose, eh? Well, it wasn't a wasted trip, sister. We're having barracuda for dinner.
Barracuda? How in the world did you catch a barracuda?
I didn't catch him. He followed me out. With my new glasses, I look like a mackerel. Now, let's get on with the... Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I work in the San Francisco post office, and we have thousands and thousands of letters that say I can't stand Jack Benny.
Huh? Those must have been sent in for the contest I had last year.
They were sent this year and have nothing to do with the contest.
Well, I'll pick them up before I leave San Francisco.
I wish you'd hurry. One of them is ticking.
Well, you can forward that one to Fred Allen.
That's who it came from.
Now, cut that out. I'll come to the post office in the morning and pick them up. And as for you, Mr.
Jones.
What?
Jones.
Jones? J-O-N-E-S?
Yeah.
Well, I want to shake your hand, Mr. Jones. I really do.
Jack, what are you so excited about? Who is he?
I don't know, but he's the first guy I've met in San Francisco whose name isn't DiMaggio.
That's my first name.
All right, get out. I had a fall for a thing like that.
Well, Jack, it's just as I told you. Every time you come to San Francisco, you have trouble.
Mary, I don't have any trouble. People love me here. You should have seen the crowd that turned out for the newspaper men's frolic last night.
And, Jack, didn't you and Bob Hope do an act together on the Damon Runyon Memorial Fund benefit last Thursday?
Yes, we did, Don. In fact, I was one of the masters of ceremonies, and I introduced Bob.
Gee, I like Hope. He's so glib, and he talks so fast.
You're telling me. When I introduced him, I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Hope." And between Bob and Hope, he told 12 jokes, sang 2 choruses of Thanks for the Memory, and made a new picture called The Road to Tanforan. What a man. You know, he'd be a great comedian if he could only play the violin. Mary, stop looking at me like that.
If I'd had a good lunch, I'd punch you right in the nose.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Dennis, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since you got in town. Where are you living here?
Oh, I've got a wonderful suite with 16 bathrooms.
A suite with 16 bathrooms? Where?
In the basement of the Fairmont Hotel.
Oh, well, are you comfortable there?
Yes, but I can never get to sleep.
Why not?
All night long, a man with a whisk broom keeps brushing me off.
Oh. Too bad, Dennis. It was such a good line, too.
And you know what, Mr. Benny? What? Going without sleep has made me lose an awful lot of weight.
What do you mean, kid?
Well, this morning I weighed myself 4 times and the arrow always pointed to 0.
What?
I don't weigh anything.
No, there's something wrong, Dennis. Maybe after you put in your penny, you wiggle around too much when you stand on the scale.
Oh, stand on it.
Yes, you have to stand on it. Now, come on, Dennis. Everybody's here anxious to hear you sing, so let's have your song.
Okay. Well, Mr. Benny, you know, when I put my penny in the weighing machine, a card came out with my picture on it.
Your picture?
Yeah, and guess who I look like?
Who?
Betty Grable.
What?
I can't understand what Harry James sees in me.
I can't either. Go ahead and sing, will you, kid? Go ahead.
They twirl, and timber wolves yell timber when they see a pretty girl. Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? Why did I ever have to go? Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? 'Cause there's a sheriff back there looking for me high and low, and home on the range. Back home in old Wyoming, folks are acting mighty strange.
since they started social climbing, how they've changed the good old range. Our farm is now a dude ranch, and there's carpet on the trails. The cowboys wear tuxedos, and the horses all wear tails.
My Uncle Max in Cheyenne claims he's honest as the sun. He worked 6 years in a bathhouse, and he never took A1. The sheriff finally got him, and no more will Uncle roam. They caught him working in a bank and taking samples home. Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? Why did I ever have to go home? Why did I ever leave Wyoming? 'Cause there's a sheriff back there looking for me high and low and high and low.
Wyoming, sung in San Francisco by Dennis Day, who lives in Los Angeles and was born in New York. And now...
Gee, what a trip just to sing a song.
Yes, a trip.
Say, Dennis. Dennis, we looked for you on the train. Why didn't you come up with us from Los Angeles?
Well, I had to wait a couple of days because my mother and father wanted to come. I thought I'd treat them to a little vacation.
Oh, did you drive up in your car?
No, we took the night train. Mother slept in the lower berth and my father and I shared the upper.
You and your father in an upper berth? That must have been awful.
Well, we wouldn't have minded that so much, but our dog wouldn't get off the pillow.
Oh, your dog was in there, too?
Yeah, she sure picked a fine time to have pups.
Well, it's your own fault, Dennis. Why in the world did you bring your dog to San Francisco?
Oh, I hated to leave her at a time like that.
Oh. Well, it's nice of you to be so considerate, and congratulations, by the way. And now, kids... If you'll all sit down and be quiet, I got a surprise for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have as our guest star tonight a very fine actress who, because of her great performance on the screen, was recently nominated for the Academy Award. Here she is, Miss Jane Wyman.
Thank you, Doc. It was very nice of you to say that.
Well, I meant it, Janie. I thought you gave a sterling performance in The Yearling.
That's Yearling.
Oh, yes. I thought you gave a sterling performance in The Yearling. I mean, sterling. Well, Janie, it must have been a great personal satisfaction for you being nominated for the Academy Award.
Oh, it was, Jack. I was never so excited in my life.
Well, Janie, how did you feel about Olivia de Havilland winning the Oscar?
Well, Jack, I thought she deserved it. I think Olivia gave the finest performance of the year.
Well, I know, but weren't you even a teensy-weensy bit jealous when somebody else got the Oscar?
No, not at all.
Gee, that's funny. When Frederick March won it, I could have spit right in his eye. I was furious.
But, Jack, you had no right to be jealous of Frederick March. You didn't even make a picture last year.
I know, but I made one 3 years ago, and people still remember it.
There's an answer to that, but I think my mother might be listening.
I see what you mean. At least, Janie, you were nominated, and there's always another chance. Who do you think will be nominated next year?
Tom Dewey.
Oh, go feed your pups. Janie, you may not know this, but next year, I'm going to make a picture that will be so sensational.
Hello, Janie. How are you?
Why, Mary, it's good to see you again. You look wonderful.
Now, in this picture, I play the
Janie,
part...
Janie, isn't San Francisco an exciting town?
It certainly is, Mary. And the shops have so many new fashions.
In this picture,
Did
I play the part...
Did you see the new spring clothes they're showing here?
See them? I've already bought two of the darlingest suits at Mason Mendesol.
In this picture...
You know, I got a dream of an evening gown at Magnus. It's chartreuse, and the bodice is covered with sequins.
In this picture, I play the part of a chartreuse, and there...
Mary,
I mean, there's a scene where
Mary, you know, they have the most gorgeous things in the lingerie shop at Roos Brothers. Real two-way stretches and everything.
Now, look, girl.
And I picked up some of the cutest hats at Ransom House.
Wait a minute.
Oh, and you should see the suede alligator shoes I got at O'Connor and Moffat.
Wait a minute.
And, you know, they have silk two-piece bathing suits that are strapless and backless.
Wait,
you know,
a minute!
Now, in this picture, what'd you say about strapless bathing suits?
Nothing. And you should be ashamed of yourself talking about your own pictures when you have a star like Jane Wyman.
Well, I congratulated her, Mary. I told her she was wonderful in The Yearling, didn't I, Janie?
Yes, you did.
And the technicolor and scenery in the picture were the most gorgeous I've ever seen. Where did they shoot the picture? In Hollywood?
No, it was filmed in, you should excuse the expression, Florida.
Well, you certainly gave a great performance. And I also think that Gregory Peck should have won something for running around on all fours and jumping over logs and leaping over fences.
Jack, that was the deer.
Oh. Well, I thought he was kind of cute, too, but it was...
No, Gregory Peck was the man with a straw hat.
Oh, well, I saw the picture before I got my new glasses, you see. I sat so far back, the third row, too.
Janie, I haven't had a chance to see the picture yet. What was the story about?
Well, Gregory Peck and I were running a little farm, and we were face to face with poverty. We'd worked 18 to 20 hours a day and year after year of backbreaking labor, and we didn't have a penny to show for our toil.
Gee, I wonder where they got an idea like that.
Oh, Rochester gave it to them.
Imagine him selling his diary, isn't it?
What were some of the things you and Gregory Peck raised on the farm?
Well, there were potatoes, yams, cotton, and our best crop was tobacco.
Well, it took a long time, but you finally got around to me.
Oh, you're Don Wilson, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. Don Wilson, in the flab.
Look, Don, we were just discussing... Jane, what are you staring at Don like that for?
Now, I thought San Francisco had a bay. Wyman, you're only a guest, but you're just as corny as they are.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Wyman, I saw The Yearling and I was very impressed, but there's one scene that I'd like to ask you about.
What is it, Mr. Wilson?
In that heartbreaking scene when your son ran away from home and with tears in your eyes, you were running through the fields looking for him.
Yes.
Now, the tobacco you raised in that field, was it that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco?
Yes, sir, you bet. Why, sure.
And they dared give the award to another picture?
Don, they gave it to the best smokes of our lives, if that'll make you happier, you know?
And I've been smoking Lucky Strikes nigh on to 25 yearlings.
Good.
Every morning, Gregory would go out and peck that fine tobacco.
Say, that's wonderful.
Then again, if it's not Tom Dewey, it might be Governor Warren.
What?
And when Gregory pecked that fine tobacco, it was made into Lucky Strikes that are so round, so firm, so fully packed.
Don.
So free and easy on the draw.
Don. Mr. Wilson. Knob Hill. You got in your commercial. It's time for a band number. Come on, let's dance, everybody. Played by Phil Harris's orchestra and directed by Mr. Malin Merrick. That is your name, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Merrick, it was nice of you to fill in for Mr. Harris since he couldn't be with us today. And I want to tell you that I've never heard Phil Harris's band sound so good. How long have you studied music?
1 week.
Oh. Well, what made you decide so recently that you wanted to lead an orchestra?
Well, I'm a conductor on a cable car, and I don't know how long they're going to last.
Well, thanks again for helping us out, Mr. What was that name again?
Merrick. Malin D. Merrick.
Now, what's the D for?
DiMaggio.
I should have known, huh?
Jack, why couldn't Phil come up here with us?
Phil, well, you see, Mary, Phil has his own program for Fit Shampoo, which follows my show. And when I go out of town and Phil has to choose between the two programs, naturally, he'd choose the one with the bottles. But he'll be with us next week.
You know, Jack, I'm sorry Phil Harris isn't here today. I think he's awfully cute.
Do you, Janie?
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I can't understand. What do women see in Phil Harris?
Oh, I don't know. He's handsome and impetuous, and he has sex appeal.
Well, don't you think I have sex appeal?
Well, in a gay 90 sort of way.
Now, wait a minute, Janie. How can you say that? You've never even kissed me. Come on, give me a kiss.
Right here in front of everybody?
Why, certainly. Come on, Janie, kiss me.
Well, all right.
There.
Well, maybe he's not as old as I thought he was. Look at the sparkle in his eyes.
Don't get excited. Those are fog lights.
Mary.
If it's not Governor Warren, it might be Herbert Hoover.
What?
Don't you read the papers?
Oh, quiet.
Jack hasn't read anything since Monday except Newsweek because his picture's on the cover.
You said it. And if I do say so myself, I look pretty good.
Go on. I sent out laundry that looked better than that.
Mary, you're just jealous because Newsweek magazine didn't put your... Come in.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Pardon the intrusion.
Well, Mr. Kitzel. Kitzel, what are you doing here in San Francisco?
I'm visiting my relatives.
Oh, you have relatives here?
Yes, my brother owns a hotel.
Here in town, eh? What's the name of it?
It's Sir Francis Kitzel.
Sir Francis Kitzel?
Yes, yes, and I have an uncle who's got a restaurant in Chinatown.
A restaurant in Chinatown? Yes. What's the name of it?
Ling Ting Fui.
Fui?
You should eat there sometime.
Well, maybe we'll go over after the show tonight. Does he serve yakka mein, chow mein, and chop suey?
With a noodle in the middle and a herring on top.
Oh.
He also serves corned beef and cabbage.
Your uncle serves corned beef and cabbage? That's an Irish dish.
He's very friendly.
Oh, well, Mr. Kitzel, it's nice that you have so many relatives here.
Oh, yes, and I also got a cousin on Fisherman's Wharf.
What's his name?
DiMaggio.
Well, look, which one of the DiMaggio is your cousin, Joe, Vincent, or Dominic?
Morris. Yes. You know, he plays baseball with the San Francisco Schlemiels.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, it was certainly nice to see you again.
Well, as they say at 10 for M, mutual.
Yes, sir.
I got to be running along now.
Oh, just a minute. Before you go, I want you to meet our guest star, Miss Jane Wyman.
Hello, Mr. Kitzel.
Why, Mr. Kitzel, you're a regular wolf.
Thank you. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye.
Oh, Miss Wyman.
Yes?
Greystone, 8056. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, isn't he a cute guy, Janie? Well, Janie, we certainly had an exciting week up here, didn't we?
We certainly did, Jack.
And I want to thank you very much for being on my program and also for appearing at the newspaper frolics last night.
Oh, it was lots of fun, and I always enjoy coming to San Francisco.
Me too.
Herbert Hoover lives in Palo Alto.
I know, I know. Dennis, why don't you pay attention to what we're... Pardon me. Hello?
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 Who is this?
Your favorite brunette.
Rochester. Rochester, where are you?
I'm in Sausalito.
Sausalito? What are you doing there?
Nothing.
Nothing?
That's the main industry here.
What?
They've got so much of it, they export it.
Oh, you mean things are kind of quiet over there?
Quiet? Over here, they think no apprentice is a blabbermouth.
Now, wait a minute, Rochester. I didn't give you permission to go over there.
I know, boss, but I had a couple of spare hours on my hands.
Uh-huh.
And I was, well, kind of lonesome.
Yeah.
And then I remembered I knew a girl over here.
Yeah.
And it's spring now, boss. Spring!
All right, so what happened?
The main industry, nothing.
Well, look, Rochester, were there any calls or messages for me at the hotel?
A few, boss.
What were they?
Well, the hotel barber came up to the room about 10 minutes after you left.
The barber?
Yeah, I got a shave and you got a haircut.
Rochester, how could he give me a haircut when I wasn't even... Oh, well... I hope it was the blonde one. I want to wear it tonight. See you later, Rochester.
So long, boss.
So long.
Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
My girl and I have been listening to the program.
What'd you think of it?
Are you sure you've got a contract for the next 3 years?
Yes.
Lovely, lovely.
Never mind. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, I guess you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Playboy. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody here in San Francisco for being so nice to us. Also, Janie Wyman, who appeared on the program through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, who are the producers of that new picture, Cheyenne. Be sure to listen in next Sunday when we will have as our guest Mr. Samuel Goldwyn and Hoagy Carmichael.
What about Herbert Hoover?
Dennis! Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Jack Benny Program on Tuned 2 yesterday from March 30th, 1947 on NBC. Actress Jane Wyman in many different motion pictures from comedy to drama. She actually has the distinction of being the one actress who replaced Gracie Allen for a night on the Burns and Allen radio program. It was Christmas night in 1947 that Gracie Allen had a migraine that was too much to bear, and Wyman stepped in to produce a very funny show, and also in the history of Burns and Allen, the only time Gracie Allen was ever replaced in all of their years together. You're listening to An Hour of Comedy on Tuned 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now an adaptation of the William A. Wellman motion picture Magic Town, which originally starred Jimmy Stewart and Jane Wyman. Radio actress Virginia Gregg takes over her role as Mary Peterman, and Jimmy Stewart reprises the character of Rip Smith from the 1947 picture on the Screen Director's Playhouse, broadcast on NBC on January 6th, 1950.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, proudly presents...
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Jimmy Stewart, production Magic Town, director William Wellman...
Hollywood Screen Directors present some very public opinions. The motion picture story, Magic Town, starring Jimmy Stewart in his original role of Rip Smith. When all of mankind's darkest moments are written in the golden book of time, there on a special page you'll find the agony of America's public opinion experts on the day that Harry Truman was elected president. And so it happened that next day, Rip Smith of the Rip Smith Public Opinion Surveys faced a cruel and bitter world.
Huh? Pardon me, but I represent a public opinion poll.
Ha! Huh.
A Republican. Madam, I represent a public opinion poll.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I guess I am.
What do you want?
Well, it's a matter of comparing your opinion to the average.
Drop dead.
Your average. Well, take a last look at the office, Ike. We're through. Finished.
Good. I'm looking for a job with more security.
Like what?
Like getting shot out of a cannon.
One account. We have one good newspaper account, and we lose it on the national election. Has Kincaid called you?
5 times.
Well, it was a beautiful career. Rip Smith. Oh, hello, Mr. Kincaid. Yes, I wanted to talk to you about our public opinion poll. You say I should take my poll and... Oh, Mr. Kincaid, I know your readers are laughing at your paper, but I guess the joke's on us, huh? Mr. Kincaid. Hey, no sense of humor. Ike, let's see those poll reports again.
There's no report, Rip. There's only one town called Grandview that checks with the actual election results.
What's that?
Hit it right on the nose.
What? Hit it? Oh, wait, that's impossible. Now, let's see. Let me see that. Hey. Holy Hannah, it's a miracle.
No, it's not a miracle. I looked up Grandview and McGrath's election guide. They've been right for 50 years.
I you wouldn't kid me, would you? Look, say, if this is true, hand me that census report.
What's the matter with you?
This might be it. This might be it. A shortcut to public opinion polls. A magic town.
Oh, you loony.
I'm a genius. Give me that national breakdown chart there. Line them up. Check the figures.
I hate figures.
Ike, look. Grandview's population, males, females, it checks with the national sex ratio.
Yeah, they must be just dippy about Lana Turner movies.
Republicans, Democrats, religions, income groups, Ikes, they check right down the line. It's a mathematical miracle. Why, in a town like this, we could analyze the entire country.
What about the people? They get self-conscious.
Yeah, they would. That's fatal. What we need is a cover-up. Let's see. What's wrong with the insurance business? Ike, we're a couple of insurance salesmen.
I see. We poll the town on the sly.
On the sly, that's right. And as long as it doesn't change, we can't miss. Now, Kincaid already has another outfit working out a poll on progressive education. Now, if we work fast, we can finish at the same time. Offer it to Kincaid at half the price. After that, we're a cinch.
Well, why get excited? There's nothing in it but a fortune.
Grandview, I love it.
Welcome to Grandview, gentlemen. Welcome to Grandview. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've come to open an insurance office.
Yeah, but we can't talk now. I have to get back to city council meeting. Listen to Mary Peterson. A crackpot girl wants to make changes. Make changes.
Changes? What kind of changes?
All kinds. Change the whole town. The whole town.
We've been stabbed.
Has a civic center plan. Step into the council room.
Here for yourself. Just here for yourself.
Thanks. That's just what we'd like to do.
Summing up, gentlemen. Grandview is living 50 years in the past. My civic center plan will bring us up to date. Attract new people, new business. Make Grandview a better town to live in. That, gentlemen, is the plan. What is your opinion?
Changes. There goes the ball game.
Yeah, it isn't over the fence yet. Excuse me for butting in like
no,
that.
No, it's all right. Councilman and Miss Peterson, this is Mr. Rip Smith and Mr. Ike Sloan, insurance agent. Just arrived on the last train.
And I'd like to say that I've been searching for a town like this all my life. Now, Miss Peterson, you talk of changing it. But I'd like to tell you what I thought today as I walked through Grandview. And I saw the shade trees and its parks and its stately buildings, mellowed with age. The people in the streets, secure, happy. And I thought, here is beauty. Here is indescribable beauty. And I want to become a part of it, too. Now, please don't change it.
Mr. Smith, you saw and thought all this in less than an hour.
His watch was slow.
Yes.
Well, now, council members in favor of Mary Peterson's plan, say aye. Say aye. And let's go home to dinner.
Mr. Smith, I thank you.
Well, Miss Peterson, I feel as though I have become a part of Grandview already. First breakdown, Grandview poll on progressive education. In favor, 22.9. Against.
Hello, Rip.
Hi, hi. Got any more interviews?
No, but you've got trouble. That Mary Peterson girl. She's the editor of the town newspaper. Here, look at this.
Newcomer has shoved his unwelcome proboscis into Grandview's affairs. If you're really here to sell insurance, Mr. Smith, you would do well to start building confidence and goodwill.
Pretty cute, huh?
Yeah, so was Lucretia Borgia. Yeah.
Hey, Ike, I got an idea. Hey, can you do this poll all by yourself?
Sure, why?
I'm going to devote myself to Miss Mary Peterson. I'm going to charm her into a living testimonial of confidence and goodwill.
Well, that's fine, fine. You'll find the little lady at the Bijou soda fountain. Why don't you just dull her senses with ice cream delights?
Okay. And Ike, do a good job on the poll, will you? And when the going gets tough, think of me making the supreme sacrifice. She was kind of cute, though.
Here you are, Miss Peterson. One double chocolate soda.
Thank you, Bill.
Make it two, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's you.
Bloody but unbowed.
Didn't you like the story?
Well, kind of unfair, wasn't it?
Mr. Smith, I don't trust you. A clever man like you knows that Grandview is already crowded with insurance agents. Furthermore, you've set my Civic Center plan back 6 months.
Here's your soda.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks. Ah, so there's two counts against me, huh? Well, answering point one, a clever man like me doesn't mind competition. Point two, I shot my mouth off from the city council without realizing what I was doing. If I've caused any damage, I'd like to repair it.
Drink your soda. I want to think. And just what do you want in return for your help?
A chance to help Grandview. Drink your soda.
Is that all?
And I've think it's only fair that you retract that story.
Well, suppose we wait until Grandview is sure of you.
You mean until you're sure of me?
Drink your soda.
Hey, it's all gone. Look, there's not enough ice cream in it.
What do you mean, not enough ice cream?
Well, just not enough ice cream, that's
all. Well, if you don't like our sodas, why don't you leave?
Well, because I can't.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and be shouted at. I'm leaving.
Well, no, wait. I'm Mary. Mary, I'm crazy about Granville sodas.
You've said quite enough.
Granville sodas have a charm all their own. The soft effervescence, the exquisite flavor, the satin texture. Oh, believe me, Mary, there's not another spot in America like Grand.
Hello?
Morning, Mary.
Rip, hello.
Look, there's a carnival up at Holbrook tonight, and I thought we might take a bunch of the Grandview youngsters and give them an evening out.
That's the come on.
We've been out every night.
Well, what if we were out last night? The newest member of the church social committee wants to take you to the party.
This is the setup.
Yeah, I sort of thought tonight we'd just walk up to the top of Loudon Hill. You can see all of Grandview in the moonlight.
And here comes the payoff.
Rip, it is beautiful, isn't it?
It's the most beautiful sight in the world.
You're not even looking at the town.
I'm looking at you.
Oh. Did you ever live in a small town before, Rip?
No. I don't know. I don't think I ever lived anywhere before. I worked in a lot of places, but here I'm living for the first time.
I'm glad, Rip. A person like you, someday you'll be running for mayor of Grandview. And you know something?
What?
I think I'd vote for you.
Oh, Mary. Mary. Hey, what do you know about that? Hey, I kissed you, didn't I?
And I kissed you back.
Yeah. Mary, look, I didn't bring you...
Oh, I know. Maybe it's the moonlight.
Yeah, I think there's a little too much moonlight. Let's... It's getting a little late. Let's sort of get back to town, huh, Mary?
All right, Rip.
Welcome to the office, Casanova.
That's very funny.
Looks like we're both doing a good job. I'm finishing the last chart, and you've got lipstick all over your stupid face.
Mm-hmm. Poll's done, huh?
Yep, there it is.
No, that only checks. A poll and a tenth of the usual time.
And a tenth of the usual cost. You can take it into Kincaid tonight.
No, wait a minute, Ike. I've got a job for you. I want you to take the report to Kincaid.
Why me?
Well, I'm busy here.
Yeah, Grandview and that dame have gone to your head. You're no happier about this setup than I am. Look, why don't you kick it over and relax?
Now, what kind of a lame brain do you think I am? This is what I've been working for all my life. A soft touch and a quick dollar.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, start packing and get on that midnight train. Phone me tomorrow. I'll be waiting here. Hello, Ike? Did you see Kincaid? How'd it compare with the other poll?
No. Wonderful.
Okay. Now, if he wants to sign a contract, bring the deal back to Grandview. I'll go over the papers here. Good work, Ike. Good work.
Oh, brother.
Can I come in, Rip?
Oh, Mary. Sure. Well, sit down.
I brought you something. Look, the paper.
Oh, what's the news? Oh.
The retraction of that story. I'm sure now, Rip.
Well, that's nice of him, Mary.
Now, Mr. Insurance Salesman, you've got a customer.
Who's that?
Me. I want some insurance.
No, you can't. Not from me.
Why not?
Well, I'm a sort of a specialist.
In what?
Insurance for midgets.
There's no midgets in Grandview.
I can hope, can't I?
All right, I'll fill out my own application. Is this the form here on your desk?
Mary, don't. Don't.
I'm
don't.
Rip. Rip. Smith, Public Opinion Surveys.
Uh-oh.
Grandview Poll. Rip!
All right, now you know.
All the time you were spying on us.
I wasn't spying. It just happens that Grandview exactly reflects the public opinion pattern of the whole country. I was doing a job.
A job of winning our friendship and throwing it in our teeth. Give me that phone.
That may be the way it started, but I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I began falling in love with Grandview and falling in love with you.
Hello? Alan? I want you to take down a story.
You can't do that, Mary.
Hold it, Alan. Why not?
Because the people here are good people. Now, you can't just go telling them they're special just because it's a mathematical freak. When they read that, there's no telling what will happen.
At least they'll know the truth about you. Your act was perfect, Mr. Smith. And I was a perfect audience.
Now, Mary, if you love Grandview, don't do this.
You just never run out of cheap tricks, do you? Ready, Alan? It was discovered last night that Mr.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sam Hayes, your night reporter. A little town named Grandview made news tonight because Grandview is the most typical town in America, whatever that means. Swarms of tourists are pouring into the community.
Rip, let's get out of here, will you? Why, in a week's time, an intelligent opinion in this town is going to be as rare as lipstick on a U-bangy.
No. I'm going to stick around and watch them pick up the pieces.
And so the recognition of communist China still remains argumentative and in doubt. Here at home, Grandview is still soaking up glory and profits like a sponge. New families are arriving every hour, and real estate is booming.
Mr. Smith, Mr. Sloan.
Mr. Mayor, we're honored.
I dropped by, Mr. Smith, to convey the thanks of the city of Grandview. The thanks of the city of Grandview.
For what?
The town's bursting.
Well, that's delightful.
We're going to build, Mr. Smith. We're going to build that civic center of Mary Peterson's. Only three times the size. Attract more people.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to use for money?
We're going to sell our opinions. Sell them. No more giving Grandview's ideas away. They're our chief export now.
Mr. Mayor, you are an idiot.
Now, see here.
Mr. Mayor, I have to talk to you.
Well, Mary, what do you think of your lovely town now?
That plan to build an oversized civic center by selling our opinions? It's suicide. That isn't the way I wanted it.
No, nonsense, Mary. Nonsense, Mary.
I warned you. He's got me doing it.
No. Stop being so smug and do something to help.
No, you can't stop it now. And when that homegrown poll comes out, Mr. Typical American, and I mean the rest of the country, is going to laugh himself into hysterics.
Grandview, ladies and gentlemen, appears to have set itself up as the American Oracle. But here's one reporter who predicts that the most talked about town in the country is going to suffer a pretty nasty fall. At any rate, we'll know tomorrow when the result of the first Grandview poll is released. The question, would you vote for a woman to be president of the United States? And here's an item from Grandview. Established polls show that 5% of the people would vote for a woman presidential candidate. But Grandview says that 94% of American voters would vote for a woman president. I don't know what my wife will say, but as far as I'm concerned, this, ladies and gentlemen, makes Grandview just about the most cockeyed town in America.
Mary?
I'm very busy, Mr. Smith. This is a newspaper office.
Well, I was just leaving Grandview, and I thought maybe we could say goodbye.
Certainly, Mr. Smith. Goodbye. You stayed for the whole sideshow, didn't you? The boom and the bust. Like a ghost town. Our people are ashamed. They won't even leave their homes. And we did it, Mr. Smith. Together.
I'd like to help, but I'm just an opinion hunter.
Opinions won't help us now, Rip.
No, not unless we... Hey, wait a minute. Not unless we... Holy Hannah, that's it.
What's it?
The mayor said Grandview's chief export was public opinion. Well, let's make one more shipment.
I don't get it, Rick.
I'm going to poll everyone in Grandview on the question, how do you think the typical American acts when he finds he's made a mistake? If these people are typical, then they can't be beaten this easily. Now, let's make them know it. Let's make the whole country know it.
Sam Hayes. Grandview is back in the news today, the community that, I'm ashamed to say, all of us almost laughed out of existence. But this average American town has snapped out of defeat just because it is what it is. All of Grandview citizens have been polled on the question, how does the average American act when he finds he's made a mistake? The 100% answer from Magic Town, he comes back fighting and tries to set things straight again. And that's just what Grandview is doing. For a beginning, the people are contributing their own labor to build a new civic center. Yes, I'd say we can all learn a lot.
Here's your double chocolate soda, Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Bill.
Make it two, Bill.
Oh, hi. It's good soda.
Riff.
Hmm?
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
One double chocolate.
Thank you, Bill.
Drink your soda.
All right. I guess now you'll be going back to your public opinion business.
Now, there's only one more opinion I'm interested in. Drink your soda.
What is it?
Do you love me?
Yes. What do you... what do you think of Grandview now?
Hey, let's try that again. Seems to have a charm all of its own. Soft effervescence. Exquisite flavor. Satin texture. Oh, believe me, Mary. There's not another spot in America like Grandview.
You have just heard the last act of Magic Town. Now, here again is tonight's star, Jimmy Stewart.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time that every guest of the Screen Director's Playhouse looks forward to. Our opportunity to introduce you to our directors, the men whose experience and guidance have made our careers possible. The director of Magic Town was William Wellman, but on this very special program, the first to be sponsored by RCA Victor, we have a guest who speaks for all the directors, one of Hollywood's true pioneers, the president of the Screen Directors Guild, George Marshall.
Thank you, Jimmy. You know, it was just a year ago today that the Screen Directors Playhouse made its first broadcast.
Oh, that was a mighty important day for the actors.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's given us a chance to get you directors out in front of a microphone, shove a script in your hand, and then...
Then?
You just stand and watch you suffer. So, you know, now you guys know how we feel we can't get that line right.
I wish I had a 45, and I don't mean my record changer. Well, we've learned, Jimmy, and now this marks the beginning of our second year in radio, the beginning of our association with RCA Victor. So speaking for all the Screen Directors, I'd like to express our thanks to the radio audience for making it possible. We hope you'll continue to listen and enjoy listening at this new time, 1 hour earlier. In weeks to come, you'll be hearing such stars as Fred Allen, Alan Ladd, Gary Cooper, Ray Milland, Rosalind Russell, Burt Lancaster, and Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., all on Screen Director's Playhouse.
And now I'll speak for the actors, George, and wishing you a lot of happy radio birthday to come.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good night to you all.
Good night, George. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Now.
And good night to you, Jimmy Stewart and George Marshall.
Next, it's Jimmy Durante with Don Ameche on NBC.
The Screen Director's Playhouse on Tuned 2 Yesterday from January 6th, 1950 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.